This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio.
Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum, the refreshing, delicious treat that gives you chewing enjoyment, presents for your listening enjoyment...
Broadway's my beat, from Times Square to Columbus Circle, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world.
Broadway's my beat, the thrilling drama of murder and mystery and the people who walk the great white way, with Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover. To make every day more enjoyable, treat yourself often to refreshing, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Here's a taste treat you can enjoy indoors, outdoors, at work, or at play. The cool, long-lasting mint flavor refreshes you. The smooth, steady chewing helps keep you fresh and alert, adds enjoyment to whatever you're doing. Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious.
Time comes finally to Broadway when the emptiness is big, when solitude walks the street, arrogant and brave. It's a time when the neon carnival is wound down, when the blazing furnace of light darkens and grows cold. And on the pavements, glistening with the tears of despair, the stragglers walk. They plead for a door to open, for a light to be turned on. Solitude is at their heels. Please, kid, for a friend. But it's no good, kid. Broadway's closed for the night. But there are side streets where it's never closed, where trumpets scream and saxes weep. In the 50s, for instance. In a little joint called the 34 Club, for instance, where I was, where death was. And this time it was a circular platform raised above the bar with a piano on it, and a dead man resting his head on the keys, and all of it defined in the darkness by a spotlight that changed colors, and all of it revolving like a big toy, slow, round and round. And the man tries to explain to you why it wasn't turned off.
It isn't that we were sitting here enjoying the spectacle of it, Mr. Clover. It's just that in cases of murder, I read someplace you're not supposed to touch nothing, but nothing.
It was going around like that when...
Before, during, and after the murder. Hey, you got yourself a puzzle. How to figure out from where the shot came from with that platform going round and round and round.
Turn it off.
I'm glad somebody finally came through with an order. There. I'm a man who doesn't function very well, Mr. Clover, unless somebody gives me an order. Spineless, that's me.
Still, you manage this place, Mr. Darby. You own it, too, huh?
Sure. But what courage does that take? The decisions are made by Kay. She hires the musicians, pays the salaries. That's my wife, Kay. You ever heard her sing, Mr. Clover? Like a dream you don't talk about to nobody.
She hired the man up there?
Absolutely. Heard him playing piano in some forlorn joint. Hired him on the spot. He was very great, that boy on the piano.
What else about him, Mr. Darby?
What else about Harry Brett? He's dead with a bullet hole in him.
Maybe you can tell me why.
Maybe I can. Want to hear, Mr. Clover?
Uh-huh.
I got a good why. Harry Brett was singing siren songs into the ear of my wife, Kay.
That could be motive, couldn't it?
Yeah. Uh-huh. It could.
Did your wife listen?
My wife, Kay? You won't mind asking her yourself. You won't mind at all.
Now tell me how it happened.
I wish I could, Mr. Clover, but I just can't.
Try.
Oh, it's no use. Because I was out on the sidewalk at the time, communing with something or someone.
It has no name, this something?
No. But I can give you a list of witnesses on the street who witnessed me communing. They know the look that comes over me. That's how they know. You want the list?
Yeah, but later. You'll stick around so you can give it to me later.
I got no place else to go. Just no place.
Who can tell me how it happened?
Jack over there. Jack Gage, the boy sitting at the bar crying because his friend is dead.
He's sorry the pianist is dead.
Sure. Somebody has to play a dirge at a funeral, don't they, Mr. Clover? Don't they?
Harry, you were too good to die, kid. Too good. Mr. Gage, I have to ask you some questions from the police.
You have to?
Tell me what happened.
We were on a platform up there, turning round and round, playing good. Harry was playing so good it hurt you inside. I still hear it. It still hurts.
Just you and Harry were up there?
Me on clarinet and Harry on piano and the trumpet.
The trumpet?
Charlie Walker. Charlie the trumpet and I the clarinet were out. Harry took it away from us. Nobody could play against what he was doing. It was... It hurt.
That's when he was shot?
Yeah, there was a shot. At first I thought it was a drum, but then I knew it wasn't a drum because there's no drum in the number. The drum's out with the rum.
Who talks about me? He talks about me when my back is turned, out of my way. It's burning. I gotta put it
out. Take a minute. Who are you?
You don't know. Ray Richard, I beat out heartbeats for the people on the drums. What are you, an agent? Hey, Jack. Why the tears without tears?
Oh, go die. Beat out your own march and go die.
I'll do that. It was burning me up and I didn't know what. A death march, that's what's inside me. A jazz time death march. Hey, who died beside me?
Harry Brett. He was murdered.
I gotta play him into the other world. I gotta. Hey, you kill him, Jack? You kill him because you love him so much?
Oh, that dirty, rotten
crawling. Leave him alone, Jack. He's drunk.
That don't give him the right. Listen to him play. Listen to that crazy, crazy man.
You haven't told me yet how it was, Jack.
Huh? Oh, about Harry? Well, there was this shot. And Harry goes, oh... Like that. Oh, they put his head on the keys and dies. And nobody cares. Everybody runs away. Harry dies and they run away.
Where did they run?
Where did who run? Be specific. It's the time to be specific.
The trumpet. Charlie Walker.
Who knows?
Kay Darby.
To her apartment, I bet. Right down the street, number 16. Call on her. Tell her I sent you. Tell her that.
Yeah? What?
Kay Darby live here?
You're who?
Danny Clover, police.
All right. You'll be in the way, but all right.
I was told I'd be able to find Kay Darby here.
Who can find Kay Darby? Guys like you? People who come knocking on a door? Ask me about Kay Darby. I'll try to translate her to you.
Let's not bother, huh? Where is she?
It's a little late, isn't it? 3:30 in the A and the M?
In the next room? Get her.
If so say you. But only because you got a badge tucked away. Kay? Visitor, Kay. Man from the police, Kay. He wants to find you.
I'm Danny Clover. There's some things I want to ask you.
Yes?
About Harry Brett.
Don't mind him, Mr. Clover. Charlie here thinks anyone who doesn't play a trumpet might as well be making music with a comb and tissue paper.
You feel that way, huh, Charlie? Charlie who?
Hey, what's the matter with you, Mr. Clover? You've been away from the world for 6 years? I'm Charlie Walker.
Charlie blows a trumpet.
You sing, isn't that right, Kay?
That's right.
Why did you leave the 34 Club after the shooting?
I was upset.
She was upset. Leaned on old Charlie Walker for strength in time of need.
You came here with Charlie?
Yeah. I left word about leaving. Seeing Harry dead, I knew what would happen if I stayed.
Oh? What?
I'd want to keep looking at him lying there. I wanted to see him. Doesn't matter. Just that I left word that I'd be here with Charlie, so if the police wanted to question us, we'd be here.
What can you tell me about Harry?
A lot. He could play the piano like an angel. His fingers touched my arm too much when we talked. I hated the sight of him. Does that take care of it?
Where were you when Harry was shot?
Sitting with me at the bar.
That's right.
Charlie.
Why a mess about a lousy piano player.
You hated him too, huh?
From the top of his toupee to tippy toes. He was egotistical, vain, selfish, snobbish. He loved himself. Know the kind of guy I mean?
He had me there. And after that, a moth started to whir around the light bulb. We all saw it at the same time. We watched it. There was nothing more to say. Suddenly, we all got tired and wished everybody'd go away. I walked Charlie out to the street. He hailed his cab. I hailed mine. I went home, went to sleep. The next morning, I went through the motions. Get up and breakfast and the morning papers propped against the sugar bowl and to work. Check in at headquarters and let them know you're calling on Ray Richard, drummer. Because when you saw Ray Richard a little while ago, he wasn't in condition to talk about murder. Maybe the morning would change it all. When I got to his door, Ray's Hymn to the Sun had a feathery quality to it. Ray looked better.
Hi. Come on in.
Thanks. Did I interrupt?
No. Sit down. Me too. I'm woozy. I'm really woozy, almost knocking over my drums.
That's quite an outfit of drums you got there.
Uh-huh.
I heard you play a little bit last night. Interesting.
Interesting? Why was it interesting?
I don't know.
I'm grateful you remember me because of my drums.
Just that it was strange. A man gets killed and you react by...
By doing this? Doing that?
Uh-huh.
For Harry Brett, pianist, his phrase for his dying. See, I'm lucky.
Lucky?
And people, things, I react to them. Everything has its tempo. I don't need words.
I see.
You? You. A policeman.
Look, Ray.
Kay Darby. You know her? That's Kay, exactly her.
What about yourself?
Me. Yeah, it works out. End of show.
Not really that, Ray. I'm trying to find out whether you killed Harry Brett.
Not me. You're wrong about that. I mourned for him.
Yeah, I heard.
And you left the club. Later, after that, I took a walk. A Skid Row type walk. It's the night and the thing that happened to Harry needed that. You can't leave death quickly. You can't have it touch you and go home and forget it.
Ray.
You gotta do it gently, so I went back to the dying and the half alive. And I came home and tried to hold the feel of it, the tempo of it, with my drums. And I could let it go, but I couldn't work that out either. I was trying...
When I came up here?
Yeah.
Where were you when Harry was killed?
I can't give you addresses.
What do you mean?
I had a half-hour break from the bandstand, boozed it up, and a couple of joints around.
Why didn't you stay at the 34 Club? They got a liquor license.
It's enough to play there. I don't have to live my half-hour breaks there.
Are you glad Harry's dead?
Doesn't make any difference. I'll hire another piano player.
Did you kill him?
No. I'd be afraid to kill.
You've got a tempo for that, too?
Yeah, I have. Would you like to hear it?
Not now, Ray. But stick around your drums, in case the yen suddenly hits me.
Danny?
Come in, Tartaglia.
Thanks. The coffee, huh?
What is?
This murder of this piano player. It isn't fair to the ballistics department how this murder of this piano player was performed.
Oh, got them worried, huh?
Yeah, indeed. This guy getting shot on a revolving stage. How are they supposed to find out where the shot came from?
Tuffy, huh?
You took the words out of my mouth. The shot could have come from any place. The line of the bullet being a secant to a revolving circle whose formula is pi r squared to the nth power.
Oh? Will you excuse me?
That goes without saying.
Thank you.
You're welcome, I'm sure.
Danny Clover speaking.
I told you I was afraid, Mr. Clover.
Who is this?
Ray. Ray Richard. Please.
The drummer?
Of course it is.
What's the matter with you?
A guy's been hanging around out front.
What guy? What are you trying to say?
I just saw him come into the house.
I don't hear anything. Ray.
No.
Ray. Ray, what is it? The shots and the scream held the tight blend of terror. And I rode it, followed it behind the siren, gouging a channel through the streets. It took 6 minutes to get to Ray's room. The room was empty. No Ray, nothing. Correction. The room was flooded with music coming from a phonograph. That and a streak of blood on the rug, lending its own touch to the shrieking room. But most of all, it was the music. A record. I looked at it. Tempo for Timpani, it was called. The room didn't need it. It needed another quality, the quality that came after violence. The tempo of silence, maybe, of death. And wherever Ray Richard was right now, I had a feeling he was covered with it.
To make every day more enjoyable, treat yourself often to refreshing, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. The lively, full-bodied, real mint flavor cools your mouth, moistens your throat, freshens your taste. And the chewing itself gives you a little lift, helps you keep going at your best. So for real chewing enjoyment that's refreshing and long-lasting, always keep Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum handy. Healthful, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Gum will make every day more enjoyable. We now continue with Broadway's My Beat, written by Morton Fine and David Friedkin, and starring Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover.
Broadway's a place that can get excited about a lot of things. Joe Louis and war coming out of retirement. The Terrible Turk pinned the referee at St. Nicholas Arena. And up in Central Park, Robert the Rhinoceros had twins and had his name changed to Alice. Broadway stands in front of the Paramount Building and gawks at the Translux. I didn't have it so good. Reason? A pianist named Harry Brett was shot on a revolving stage in a nightclub. Reason? A trap drum player named Ray Richard had left testimony of death in his room. Reason? I had to go to work. I called headquarters, had an all-points bulletin sent out on Ray Richard. Let them know I was on my way back to the 34 Club. In the early afternoon, the place was bleak, without reason, pointless. Like an old false face that hung on a dime store shelf for too many Halloweens. Kay Darby was sitting at the bar making a pattern of wet stains with the bottom of her glass. When she saw me, she looked as if she wished I'd never happened.
Oh, not again, Mr. Clover.
Why not?
Many's the time I meet someone and say to myself, oh, not again.
And you're telling yourself that now?
Sit down if you want. I only make the offer because sometimes breeding gets the better of me.
Maybe I should tell you, Kayla.
Don't tell me. You want me to shiver when you point your finger at me and say I'm a suspect for murder. Save it. I wouldn't even shrug.
Did you kill Harry?
Nope. Look, you don't understand, do you?
Understand what?
About me. I'm trying to get it over to you. I'm being in a dull gray mist. I was getting ready to salt my beer with a tear when you walked in.
Oh?
Yepper. This whole thing, this killing, it's going to break Lou to the nub.
Lou, your husband. You mean the publicity?
And he was just getting this little gin mill afloat. Now,
tell me this, Kay. How close were you with Ray Richard?
Drummer boy Ray?
That's right.
What would I want with him?
You tell me.
He's talented.
I know.
Once I was with him where people drink out of glass thimbles and listen to violin music. He beat out for my amusement a rhythm with the fiddle with pickle forks. What about Ray?
He's missing. Maybe...
Wait a minute, the bar phone. Yes? Yes, he's here. Someone from your side of the tracks wants to talk to Mr. Clover.
Thanks. Hello?
Danny, we got Richard, Danny. Found him.
Hold him, Gino. I'll be right down.
Go by way of the East River docks, Danny. That's where they fished him out. Drowned. Dead.
At the docks, the heat clawed at the mounted policemen, at their horses, and they in turn clawed at the crowd with the pale, sullen face, rejecting the heat, the stain of heat on its body, on its clothes, dodging, scurrying from under the hooves of the rearing, sweating animals, because the spectacle of death was for free. The crowd would not be denied by man or beast or element. From the river, the vapors of night were beginning to rise and the distant moan of a ship as it entered into the horizons of night. And death had shaped itself a proper setting. And someone known to you moved across it, pushed his way through the supernumeraries, found you, spoke to you.
Yeah, come on, Danny. I'll get through the crowd.
Where is he, Mugovan?
On the edge of the dock. Boys have fished him out, laid him out in one of the machine sheds. All right, one side, please.
One more shot.
Oh, will you please step aside?
Yeah, I'm here, Danny.
Here, I'll uncover him.
Oh.
Yeah, they shot him up good from up close and threw him in the river.
How long did you say he'd been in the river?
Oh, not long, Danny. Just long enough to... There's no blood on him.
Yeah. Identification?
Yeah, this Musician's Union card, local 802, issued to Ray Richard. And a driver's license issued to Ray Richard. This check from the 34 Club signed by Kay Darby made out to Ray Richard. Description tallies. And this gold Longines watch, Danny, with the initials RR on the back. That spells Ray Richard, huh?
Yeah, I remember it. Do something for me, Muggerman.
Well, sure, Danny.
Call headquarters. Have them pick up Lou and Kay Darby. And a trumpet.
Huh?
A trumpet named Charlie Walker.
Next time you invite a trumpet player, Danny, pick a spot with better acoustics. This offends the ear, this hole. Listen how it echoes. Hey! See what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Reminds me of a dance crib I played once in Selma, out of BMI. Same acoustics. Same type of studio response. I was playing the trumpet in a manner unknown to this world. And those yokels just lay there, like these stiffs.
Stop it, Charlie. You're disgusting.
What's the matter, Lou? You develop a set of taste all of a sudden?
No. Just that with all these dead around me, gives me the feeling I should commune with something. Why did you bring Charlie and me here, Mr. Clover?
I want you to identify a body we found in the East River.
Someone we have pleased, or vice versa?
That's a good question. Take all the time you need. I want you to be sure.
The shape is familiar, but the face, it's hard to tell.
Mr. Darby?
I recognize the suit. Uh-huh. I recognize it. Mm-hmm.
You know who it is?
Of course, don't you? I've seen him wear it many times. Therefore, the body belongs to
Ray Richard?
Of course, Ray Richard. I only hesitated because a man doesn't rush into a thing like this.
What do you say, Charlie?
Ray Richard.
Recognize this ring?
Of course I do, Mr. Clover. That's Ray's, all right. He pawned it with me many times when he needed more money for more booze.
All right, that's all.
He was murdered, huh?
Uh-huh, Charlie.
What makes Lou and me your darlings? Other people could have killed Ray, tossed him in the water.
Like who, Charlie?
Like the clarinet, Jack Gage. Like Kay, the song of songs.
By the way, Mr. Darby, where's Kay? I've been waiting for you to tell me why she isn't here.
She was at the club the last time I saw her. Why?
She's not there anymore. Upstairs, they say she's not anywhere. Where is she, Mr. Darby?
You mean Kay's disappeared? You mean you can't find her? You gotta find her. I'm nothing without Kay. You gotta find her, you hear?
I hear. And we will, Mr. Darby. Honest, we will.
Attention, all cars. Attention, all cars. 9:33 p.m. Pick up Kay Darby. She's 5 feet, 4 inches tall. Weight about 121. She has black hair, dark brown eyes.
Danny Clover speaking.
You fellas looking for Kay Darby?
Who is this?
Jean Brooks. I run the Kit Kat in Harlem. She's here now.
Hold her there.
You come get her.
You're late. She's gone. She's a long time gone.
Where'd she go?
She said she wanted it where the music was real secret. I told her where.
Where?
Brick Wall Club, Lenox Avenue.
Kay Darby.
Huh?
She been in here?
Been and left.
Where'd she go?
I know. There's a great piano around the corner. Maybe there.
I said Kay Darby.
Now you know. Was, but not now.
You know where she went?
Yeah, I know.
All right, where?
What she's looking for?
Where?
Room upstairs. All the way upstairs. Far as you can go. One room on the last floor. Try it.
Kay. She stood there before me in the corridor, blocking the open door. Her eyes closed, head moving back and forth to the rhythm of her wordless song. The music that came from the room in back of her drained her, touched her, flowed over her.
What do you want here?
You found him, huh? Okay.
He won't let me in. He and the other two.
Uh-huh.
They're worshiping something in there. They won't let anybody in. But I'll wait.
Get out of the way, Kay.
No.
Get out of the way. You two. Out. Hello, Ray.
Hi. Hi, Mr. Clover.
We've been looking for you, Ray.
That's funny. I didn't think you would be.
You made a mistake, Ray.
Me?
Uh-huh. Man shot up like that. Saw a little blood in your room. A mistake.
Sure.
Who was he?
Nothing. I looked for a man who was nothing. I found him.
On that walk you took in Skid Row.
Yeah, that's when.
A derelict of the same size and build. You switch clothes with him. Watch, ring, kill him, and throw him in the river with your identification.
Yeah. And didn't fool you, huh?
At least the pianist, Harry Brett. Did he need killing, too, Ray?
Uh-huh. Kay hated him. He bothered her. I like Kay around me.
She likes it, too.
Loves it.
Let's go.
Loves it. Loves it.
I didn't stop it. Ray's frenzy. The girl stood in the doorway watching him. In a little while, she came into the room and sat at his feet. Then it was over. All over. Time leaps down on Broadway. The revelers swarm the streets to embrace it. Laughter pours into the shadowed places. And for a time, kid, no despair. Just explosions and the sweet promise and have a drink on me. For a time. For a little time. It's Broadway. The gaudiest. The most violent. The lonesomest mile in the world. Broadway, my beat.
Remember, friends, to make every day more enjoyable, treat yourself often to refreshing, delicious Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum. There's lots of cooling, real mint flavor in every stick. And chewing Wrigley Spearmint helps keep you feeling fresh and alert. You feel better, work better, get more fun out of doing things. So indoors, outdoors, wherever you go, keep some healthful, refreshing Wrigley Spearmint chewing gum handy. To make every day more enjoyable, treat yourself often to delicious Wrigley's Spearmint chewing gum. The makers of Wrigley's Spearmint chewing gum hope you've enjoyed tonight's story and that you're enjoying Wrigley's Spearmint gum every day. We invite you to join us next week at the same time when Detective Danny Clover returns again with Broadway's My Beat. Broadway's My Beat, brought to you by Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, is produced and directed by Elliot Lewis with music composed and conducted by Alexander Curry. The program is written by Morton Fine and David Friedkin and stars Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover with Charles Calvert as Tartaglia. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Stay tuned for Nero Wolfe, transcribed in 30 seconds. Tomorrow, you're invited to a one-hour concert by the renowned NBC Symphony. The orchestra will be under the direction of Bruno Walter for tomorrow's performance, and celebrated violinist Joseph Zaghetti will be featured soloist. Selections for tomorrow include the overture to Mozart's Marriage of Figaro and the same composer's brilliant Concerto for Violin and Orchestra. You're invited every Saturday to a concert by the NBC Symphony. Ladies and gentlemen, the ringing of that phone bell brings you mystery, adventure.
Nero Wolfe's office, Archie Goodwin speaking. Who? Mr. Hal Horton, United Industries? Oh, I see. Well, I must warn you, Mr. Horton, Mr. Wolfe doesn't take kindly to big industrialists. Says their great wealth upsets his digestion. Why do you want to see him? The connection's bad. I don't hear you. Who? Who? Mr. Horton, who? We're cut off.
What is it, Mr. Goodwin?
Mr. Hal Horton called.
I understand that. I won't see him. Tell him what money I have to invest I put into orchid plants.
Mr. Horton wasn't promoting anything.
Then what did he call you for?
The great Horton needs a detective. Maybe just my occupational reflex, but I thought he said somebody'd been murdered.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that genius who is the bulkiest, balkiest, most ponderous, and most brilliant detective in the world. Yes, none other than that chair-born mass of unpredictable intellect, Nero Wolfe, created by Rex Stout and brought to you in a new series of adventures over this NBC network in the person of Mr. Sidney Greenstreet.
It turned out that what Horton had said had been murder, which became celebrated in the case of the malevolent medic. But its solution wasn't a simple matter of following up his accusation. It had false clues mixed all through it like raisins in a pudding. The man we came to know as the malevolent medic was young Dr. Benjamin Sloan. The case began on the sunny afternoon when Grace Banks, his nurse, came into his private office.
Waiting room's finally empty, I take it?
Well, there's one more patient, darling. I'm sorry. Doctor, Mrs. Horton's here for another of the thiamine chloride shots you ordered for.
I said you could give her those, Grace. She doesn't have to wait to see me.
Well, she's hung up her mink coat, parked her orchid and her alligator bag, and filled up all the ashtrays with lipstick cigarette stubs. Mrs. Horton prefers to wait for you. She seems very upset.
I hoped she'd get hold of herself.
Mrs. Hal Horton, with all that money. Whatever gives her such jitters? Darling, if I ever get in that condition after we're married, please shoot me.
I've advised her to go to a specialist. Hers isn't a true medical case. Well, I'll do what I can. Get a needle ready, will you, Grace, and show Mrs. Horton in.
Yes, darling. I mean, doctor. Mrs. Horton, will you step in now?
Been in that waiting room for hours. Ben, I wrote you every day this week. Why didn't you answer me?
You say your health hasn't improved, Leslie.
I'm worse, much worse.
Still chain smoking, drinking, and the sleeping pills?
I have to take something. I can't walk the floor all night, can I? Thinking.
Why are you so unhappy, Leslie? You have what you always said you wanted, money, clothes, excitement.
You have the right to say that. But don't, please don't.
I'm only pointing out facts you should face. I told you from the beginning you need a nerve specialist.
I need you. Nobody else can help me at all.
Leslie, you went over this the last time you were here, and in all those letters you've been sending. Now, let's cross it off for good, shall we?
Don't talk like that. You don't mean it.
I'm no longer a lovesick dope, and you're the wife of one of the biggest industrialists in the country.
Yes, Hal Horton. I despise him. He thinks his money makes him God. He thinks he can buy anything that he bought me. He made me think I was getting the world with a fence around it. Everything I want is on the other side of that fence.
You don't know what you do want.
I want us the way we used to be, happy in love together.
Leslie, please be quiet.
Why?
Miss Banks is in the laboratory. She can hear you.
What of it? I'm not ashamed. I'll tell her. I'll tell everybody. Imagine Hal's face when he finds out I'm leaving him. But I'm coming back to you. He already knows about you. I told him you were in love with me, that you're jealous. He doesn't like
it. Leslie, you're raving. Now stop it.
You always said I was the most attractive woman in the world.
You made your choice. Now get this into your head. I'm really in love now. In a few weeks, I'm going to be married. Now I'll get your medicine.
So it's really true. You are going to be married.
Yes.
I'd heard it, but I didn't believe it. Going to marry a nurse. All my friends have known and been laughing at me.
Please, now that's enough.
I made a plan, a wonderful, beautiful plan about us. Ben, you love me. Then say you love me.
Mrs. Horton, that is all over.
Don't love me.
No longer. You're here as my patient, and that's all. After this treatment, I must ask you to get another doctor.
A wonderful, beautiful plan for us. And now she threatens to step in and spoil it. Well, maybe I'll spoil a few plans. How would you like that?
Threats will accomplish nothing.
I can ruin things for you, Ben. All those fancy ideas of yours about having a fine practice, being a great doctor. Do you want to give those up? I can arrange it so that maybe there won't be any wonderful future for you. Are you prepared to face that possibility? Because I'm prepared to make it a reality. And I mean it. You'll regret this day as long as you live.
I'll get your medicine, Mrs. Horton.
Hand me my bag. Thank you. Oh, I hate you, Ben. I hate you both.
Sorry to have kept you waiting, Mrs. Horton. Miss Banks had to do a repair job before she could use the sterilizer. Alcohol, Miss Banks?
Yes, Dr. Sloan. Now, Mrs. Horton, may I help?
Thanks. So nice of you.
There. Right side for the hypo this time, isn't it? Just touch with his cotton. Ready now, Doctor. What's the matter, Mrs. Horton?
I'm just cold. Alcohol.
After this, I advise you to go home and rest. These massive doses are a little painful, but they give results. There. That's all. Just relax here, and you can leave in 10 minutes. Come, Miss Banks. I want to talk to you.
Doctor! Doctor! I feel sick. I feel very sick.
You might as well stop acting.
I can't get up. My feet,
Ben. Look at her. Something's happened.
Hysteria.
No, her face. Oh, Ben, she's falling. Mrs. Horton, hold on to me. I've got you.
Hold her up. Leslie, what is it?
Pain. Terrible pain.
Where? What from?
Sick. Everywhere. Pain. Everything's pain. Pain in my head. Pain in my feet. My feet. My feet.
Doctor, she's dead.
Yes, Grace. Get a card from the files. I want to study it. From the first day Mrs. Horton came here.
What was it, Ben? What happened to her?
Symptoms are of a heart condition from which it seems the patient has just expired. Then you must call her husband. Grace, did you hear me?
Yes, Dr. Sloan.
Well, I discourage your visit here, Mr. Horton. I do have a sort of curiosity about the operation of so-called big business. Maybe I'll have a glass of beer and hear an explanation of the rise and fall of this morning's stock market.
You don't think I've come here socially? I wish to engage your services for...
Not available.
You're a detective, aren't you?
Specializing in cases that interest me.
Sherry, Mr. Horton?
I don't need it, thank you.
But Mr. Wolf says he specializes in cases that...
I've just got here. I haven't told my story. I don't believe you even know who I am.
Oh, yes, we do. We do indeed. A millionaire.
Did I offend you by speaking of a fee?
No, on the contrary. It is that portion of your conversation which interested me most. Frankly, I plan to spend the evening examining the first edition of Henry James. I'd like to purchase, and the word fee suggested a possible way. Now, what have you done, sir?
What have I done?
One doesn't have to be a detective to recognize you're in trouble, Mr. Horton.
Look, Mr. Wolf, I have done nothing. But I've got a question I've got to have answered. I need facts. They tell me you're the man who can give them to me.
If Nero Wolf can't get them for you, they're not facts, they're fancies, Mr. Horton.
Well, my story's involved.
But the gist of it is, your beautiful wife, a former model, died last week. The death certificate indicated a heart attack. You suggest she was murdered.
How did you know?
Never mind how I came to my conclusions. How did you come to yours?
Leslie had been going to a Dr. Benjamin Sloan. She said he was a specialist. Some friend had recommended. She'd been upset. He was giving her vitamin B shot, she told me.
You doubt that was true?
Dr. Sloan informed me after she died in his office there'd been a heart condition from the beginning. Well, I don't believe it. Leslie was a very emotional girl. She'd have been quite frightened of a heart ailment. She'd have told me about it.
Maybe she didn't comprehend its seriousness.
Dr. Sloan did. Why didn't he get in touch with me at once about it? Then, when I went to clear up Leslie's room, I discovered something. Leslie didn't go to Sloan through a friend. She'd known him when she was a model and he was a hospital intern. She'd kept letters he'd written to her then. Love letters.
Indeed.
Well, doesn't that give you an idea, Mr. Wolfe? Sloan lost Leslie to me. No man who'd been in love with Leslie would ever get over it. Would a man be jealous enough, kill a woman he loved, rather than have her belong to another man?
An interesting theory, Mr. Horton, one frequently advanced in fiction. Shall we investigate and see how it works out in fact?
Ah, you'll take the case, then.
The intricacies of the feminine nature are challenging, if you do not have to come in contact with the creatures. The practical research in such matters I leave to Mr. Goodwin here. It is a field in which he specializes.
But it's you I want.
Our method of operation is not under your control, Mr. Horton. If you'll be so kind, Archie, get a first-hand report of Dr. Benjamin Sloan and the women in his life.
Just came to ask a few routine questions, Dr. Sloan.
I don't understand your interest in the Horton case, Mr. Goodwin, is it?
That's right.
The death certificate was signed and a report made to the medical inspector.
Detectives are a snoopy lot.
Detectives? Are you from the police department?
No, I'm employed to note some details before we close up the Leslie Horton estate. Sudden deaths have to be double-checked.
I'm afraid I can't add a thing to what I've already reported.
Well, thanks for seeing me anyhow. Been a pleasant visit. Ever have a patient die in your office before, Dr. Sloan?
No, but I've seen similar cases in the hospital, of course.
Was Mrs. Horton warned about her heart condition, Dr. Sloan?
I discussed her case with her fully and frankly.
And her husband, wasn't Mr. Horton alarmed?
He didn't know. Mrs. Horton's ailment was, well, not to bore a layman with medical details, was not a fatal one necessarily. She might have gone on for years.
Just played in bad luck, huh?
The worst.
Mm-hmm. When'd you first meet her?
Several weeks ago.
And you saw her how many times?
It's all on the record. She was nervous. I prescribed thiamine chloride. Her medical report card shows that. You read it for yourself.
Well, I guess that's all, Dr. Sloan. Won't bother you further.
Miss Banks will show you out.
Yes, Dr. Sloan?
Sort of a modern Aladdin arrangement, isn't it? Wish I could press a buzzer and have a beautiful girl like you appear.
Mr. Goodwin is leaving.
Oh, this way, Mr. Goodwin. You can use the side door. The waiting room's full of patients.
So long, Doctor.
This way, through the lab. There's a door from it into the corridor.
Cozy place, all those bottles. I suppose there's enough stuff in here to kill an army.
To cure one.
Miss Banks, may I say that you're the kind of a nurse that patients dream about? Make it a pleasure to go to a hospital. Blonde hair, blue eyes, winkers an inch long. Are they real?
If you'll excuse me.
What do I have to come down with to persuade you to take care of me? Huh?
I don't take cases. I'm a technician. Good day, Miss.
So you work just for Dr. Sloan? That's too bad the way he's involved in this Horton case. It looks serious.
Mrs. Horton simply died of a heart attack in Dr. Sloan's office.
If you wanted to help your boss, Miss Banks, you'd stop rushing around and answer a few questions.
I'm sure Dr. Sloan gave you the necessary information.
Guess he doesn't realize the trouble he's in. If you can supply any details that'll change the picture, you'll be doing him a great favor. He's a nice guy. I want to help.
What is there to say? The report...
Let's get it in your own words. Just what really happened here that day?
Well... Dr. Sloan gave Mrs. Horton the vitamin B shot. That was routine.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't get up afterward. She said she was sick. And then she fell and I caught her.
And Dr. Sloan administered emergency treatment. What did that consist of, Miss Banks?
All that is in the office record.
What would bring on such an attack?
It could have been several things.
Could it have been something she ate? Acute indigestion affects the heart. Maybe Mrs. Horton would be here now if the doctor thought to use a stomach pump.
He did use one. He did everything there was time to do.
She certainly went in a hurry. Suffer a lot?
She said she was in pain.
Where? Her stomach?
No, not her stomach.
Where then?
She seemed to be in pain all over.
Reflex, maybe? When it was over, what did you do, Miss Banks?
Call Mr. Horton.
Must have been a blow to the great man. I understand she was younger than he is and quite a sultry gal.
I've talked to you professionally because you said it was necessary to help Dr. Sloan. Is that all, Mr. Goodwin?
I guess it is for now. Unless you'll have dinner with me.
Thank you, no.
I'm handsome, hardworking, and harmless. I'll bring you references from my employer. What do you say?
The express elevator's the one on the right.
Must be there's another man.
Wouldn't be the doctor, would it? Well, you'll fit better in a Pullman kitchen than here among the test tubes at that. My reluctant congratulations.
Verdict, Archie?
Innocent as lambs, both Sloan and the nurse.
Evidence to prove it?
My unfailing sensibilities, not the murderer type. Nice couple, doctor and the nurse. I suspect they're engaged. She's so much in love with him, I could have been you and she wouldn't have known the difference.
Very flattering. Records?
The usual medical record, Mrs. Horton's first visit, symptoms, subsequent visits. Here are the notes on it.
Vitamin B shots. No chance they brought this on, huh?
Dr. Sloan says absolutely not. I checked that with other doctors. But Mrs. Horton did go into this right after the hypo.
Nurse's story jives with Sloan's?
A little more detail. She says he did everything. He even used a stomach pump.
The woman was in pain? What's this? Head to feet?
My way of saying pain all over.
What other papers did you examine?
Only the medical record.
Get back to Sloan's office late tonight and examine all the papers in his desk.
Can't you trust me? I tell you, there's no reason even to suspect these two.
When you have one of your adolescent's infatuations on, blood dripping from a dagger in a girl's hand would look to you like crushed rose petals. With this grace bangs out of the way, maybe you can recognize evidence.
Sounds like a long, bleak evening.
Hand me that medical book, and then be on your way. I want to think.
Well, good evening, Mr. Goodwin.
Oh, good evening, Dr. Sloan. This is a surprise to us both. I didn't anticipate that you'd be keeping office hours after midnight.
What are you doing in my office at 2 o'clock in the morning, Mr. Goodwin?
Reading your mail and having a ghoulish time surrounded by all these shiny instruments of yours.
You've been rifling my desk.
I wouldn't do that if I were you. I've put things back very neatly, even the letters from this little secret compartment, which isn't secret at all to anybody who knows about desks. I've kept only
give
one.
Give me that.
Easy. It's the my darling mine first shan't ever give you up one way or another one. You remember it? I'll bet that nice little nurse you're engaged to never wrote that, did she?
What do you intend to do with it?
Mark it Exhibit A in the Horton murder case. Maybe you'd like to come with me and explain it to Nero Wolfe.
Very moving, very flattering, very interesting if you like women, but also very incriminating, Dr. Sloan.
What does it prove? A silly woman with a nervous breakdown imagined she was infatuated with me.
A woman who is now dead, you must remember, under, shall we say, unusual circumstances. You signed a death certificate which stated Mrs. Horton died of a heart attack. As you signed it, Dr. Sloan, did you remember she had threatened you and heave a sigh of relief that fate had done you such a good turn?
I didn't bear Leslie any ill will. I was sorry for her.
You felt adequate to the situation. You called no other doctor. Now, there are several in your building.
My first thought, of course, was that it was some extraordinary allergic reaction to the vitamin dose.
It was not until an hour or two after she was dead you decided she expired from a heart attack.
Yes.
How did you explain the pain?
I reported no pain.
Miss Banks said Mrs. Horton had pain from her head to her feet.
Grace said that?
Well, not in those words, but that was the general
idea. Dr. Sloan, why did you use a stomach pump on a heart case?
Why, I told you I tried everything, sometimes an acute digestive disturbance.
I suggest you did it because to you, as to any qualified physician, the pain in the feet suggested poisoning, a particular kind of poison, an inorganic poison.
There wasn't any in her stomach.
You maintain that? Archie, get the medical examiner on the phone. Tell him the body of Miss Hal Horton must be examined for any evidence of poisoning.
I know you think Mrs. Horton was murdered, but it's impossible. There'd been no one near her.
Miss Banks.
Miss Banks couldn't have done it. She was working with me constantly.
That's what I thought you'd say, Dr. Sloan.
Mr. Wolfe, I had to see you. This is the most dreadful thing I've ever heard of. Trying to accuse Dr. Sloan of murdering a patient.
It appears he had a reason to want Mrs. Horton dead, Miss Banks. She was that thing the poets write about, a woman's scorn. She had sent him this hysterical letter threatening scandal if he rejected her. He couldn't control her. She kept coming back to his office making scenes.
He gave her nothing but thiamine chloride. I know. I fixed the shop myself.
Don't start covering for
her. I'm not. I tell you, I filled the needle. And I didn't put anything but thiamine chloride in it. You haven't any reason to think anybody did, except for that letter you stole. If it wasn't for that letter... Give it to me. Give it to me.
Stop it, Archie. Quick.
Now drop it, baby. Come away from that fireplace. Why, you little tiger, kitten. I didn't think you had it in you. Come on, let go of it. Let go. Give it to Papa. Now, look what you did. You almost got Nero Wolf out of his chair.
Destroying evidence is a serious offense, young woman.
She kept coming to the office, writing and pestering him. I heard her from the laboratory.
You read her letters, too, didn't you? You knew if something didn't stop her, Dr. Benjamin Sloan was a ruined man.
But he didn't kill her. I know he didn't.
I don't believe he did.
You... You don't? Well, then who?
You've just provided an excellent motive for having done it yourself, Miss Banks. Pears in white wine. Cold, luscious, exotic. Excellent, Fritz. Excellent.
The best thing that's happened today. I don't like this Sloan case. If you ask me, I think that Horton Dane got what was coming to it.
Those are not the words of abstract justice, nor the phrases of a gentleman of culture. A good detective never plays favorites. Good night's rest, and you will find your attitude more normal by morning.
You expect to have this case solved by morning?
Solved now. Thanks to the expedition I sent you on this afternoon. Your rest can wait. No one will escape.
I feel like a murderer myself. If I hadn't wormed it out of Grace about the Horton woman complaining of pain, and if you hadn't jumped at the word feet...
That, Archie, my dear fellow, is the purpose for which you exist, to discover pertinent facts. Have we quite finished? Coffee in the study, then.
Here's the door. I'll go.
Mr. Wolf in?
He isn't seeing anyone this evening, Mr. Horton.
Well, he's seeing me.
Archie, if that's Mr. Horton, I'll see him.
You'd better.
Sorry you found Mr. Goodwin so impossible, Mr. Horton. He came to pay you a call this afternoon. I sent him, but he didn't find you in, did you, Archie?
No, but I made myself at home. I knew anything that would help to solve his case you'd want us to have.
What do you mean? You were in my house? What did you take?
Nothing of monetary value, I assure you, that will not be returned in due course. But before I announce the solution of a case, I like to have all my little props in place. I appreciate a well-rounded performance.
Mr. Wolf, I've had enough of this foolishness, this delay. I hired you to convict Sloan, not to play parlor games.
You must be patient, Mr. Horton. Don't force me.
I want action.
Well, I had planned to wait until the morning, but if you insist... These papers here may interest you, Mr. Horton. Mr. Goodwin here collects them, your wife's letters.
Leslie's?
You recognize the script? These are addressed to Dr. Sloan.
Do they prove anything against him?
A lady's correspondence should be kept private. This other letter, however, was sent to you.
To me? Leslie's? What? Give it to me.
Easy, Horton, easy. Don't grab.
Oh, but that letter's mine. You stole it from my desk.
There is a point in a case, Mr. Horton, where letters cease to be personal property and become evidence.
What evidence can that letter provide?
It seems you had reason for wanting to kill your wife, Mr. Horton. A man can get annoyed by a note saying his wife never loved him, that all his money isn't enough, and that she's going to another man.
You accusing me of murder?
It could have been the perfect crime. Poisoning one of those pills she was forever taking, or on the tip of the cigarette she chain-smoked, in a doctor's office to die in. If you hadn't been fool enough to try to pin it on Sloan, you might have gotten away with it.
If I had known while she was alive what Leslie was, I might have done anything. But that letter you stole from me was one she left under my pillow. I didn't find it until after she was dead. I didn't kill her. Sloan did.
You hired me to prove that, Mr. Horton. Suppose you let me go about my business.
Nero Wolf's office. Yeah? Oh, you did? Good boy. We'll expect you. I'll tell Mr. Wolf at once. Medical examiner's officer, just as you thought, they found poison in the body.
Listen to me.
Inspector Kramer's picking up Dr. Sloan and Grace. They'll be here any minute. Kramer's set to make an arrest.
I told you. The police know it's Sloan.
Put the letters and Mrs. Horton's bag on my desk, Archie.
Leslie's alligator bag? You stole that from my house this afternoon, too. Those things are mine.
Inspector Kramer will want to take them with him.
But do you think I want it made public what Leslie did to me? Kramer can't have them.
Maybe the inspector will want to take you, too, Mr. Horton.
Let him in, Archie.
Come in, Inspector Kramer. Oh. Dr. Sloan, Miss Banks.
Wolf asked me to bring them here first before I locked anybody up. Mrs. Horton was murdered, all right. I'm sending a man for Horton, too.
You won't have to. Mr. Horton's waiting here to join the party. Come into Mr. Wolf's office.
Good evening, Inspector.
Good evening, Wolf.
Will you all please range yourselves around the room as I indicate? Miss Banks here. Dr. Sloan, Mr. Horton. Archie, you stand between the two men, if you please.
Mr. Wolf, this is a dreadful mistake. I swear the doctor didn't...
Stop thinking about the doctor. What about you?
If you're accusing Miss Banks, I might as well tell
you now. Hold it, Dr. Sloan. From here on, anything you say will be held against you.
That's what I want. Let Grace go home and
I'll... For heaven's sake, why don't you arrest the man? Isn't it obvious he's guilty? You and your trumped-up charges against me.
I'll do the talking now, Mr. Horton. Mrs. Horton died from a certain inorganic poisoning. Poison administered in your office, Dr. Sloan, with a hypo syringe.
Let's get it over with. I gave her the hypo.
But I filled the needle.
There you are. They're both guilty.
Which would solve the case if they weren't lying. Miss Banks believes Dr. Sloan killed Leslie for her sake. Dr. Sloan thinks Miss Banks put poison in the hypo to save him from professional ruin. They're trying to protect each other. The fact is the hypo they gave was perfectly harmless. It did not kill Mrs. Horton.
But then what did?
Mrs. Horton came to your office in desperation, Dr. Sloan. But she came prepared for the worst. You see this handbag? Can any of you identify it?
Yes.
It's hers.
Is it Mr. Horton?
It's Leslie's.
The bag she carried to the office the day she died. Open it, Archie. You will see it contains her change purse, billfold, cigarette case, matches, her handkerchief, nothing more. That is, not unless you look closely. Then you will observe this lining has a double fold.
A secret compartment.
Exactly. We open it this way, and there we find it. A hypodermic needle with which the unhappy woman committed suicide. Miss Banks, Dr. Sloan, you can stop protecting one another. Mr. Horton, the world need never know you were a betrayed husband. Mrs. Horton killed herself while in a confused state following a mental breakdown. The case of the malevolent medic is closed.
How did you ever get the hunch about the handbag, Mr. Wolf?
I know nothing about women, but on my occasional trips abroad, I have been forced to observe their handbags. Monstrosities. They hold anything and everything.
Now that our guests have gone, Fritz is bringing coffee to the study. Would you like some beer?
I believe I would. Somehow I feel I've earned it.
Here you are.
Poor fellow, I'm very sorry for you.
How so?
This is one case in which there is no falsely accused, unattached young lady for you to squire about. Well, here's to your better luck next time.
You have been listening to The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, starring Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight's transcribed story by Ruth Adams Knight was based on the characters created by Rex Stout. This is an Edwin Fadiman program, produced and directed by J. Donald Wilson. In the cast were Harry Bartell as Archie Goodwin, and Gene Bates, Vic Perrin, Bruce Payne, Bill Johnstone, and Mary Lansing. Next week at this same time, Nero Wolfe and Archie will bring you The Case of the Hasty Will. Don Stanley speaking. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. There's music and mystery for you every Saturday evening on NBC. For music, tomorrow your hit parade brings you the top tunes of the land with Snooky Lanson, Eileen Wilson, and Raymond Scott's orchestra. And for mystery, Herbert Marshall stars as the man called X, a man in search of adventure who travels wherever there is intrigue, danger, and romance. More good mystery at Sam Spade next on NBC.